You know who used to do that to me?
What?
You took it, Mark?
What?
You took it, I know. You know who used to do that to me? Can you guess who? Ozzy?
Ozzy?
Yeah. No. You'd use timer. You would say, I would have like a pile. And it's like, oh, you don't need this one, right? And you would take the highlighted one.
You probably don't, no?
What?
You need it?
I need it. I mean, I don't know. I use it sometimes.
I feel like if I have your notes and I don't need to write.
Here, you do.
Yes, cool, Mary. Yes, cool. Okay, so Bereshit next week, because we are super machmir on being Makir Tov, we will not be having Shir.
Well, Shir on Sunday instead.
Shir next week, we'll just have next
actually,
Thursday.
I'm down for that.
Okay, so.
We'll think about that.
What are you talking about?
That's actually a really good idea.
We will not have Shir next Thursday.
Is there we'll really Seder?
Well, everybody wants it.
Officially, I don't think there's a Seder. I was trying to pull a fast one on you guys in the email. But it didn't work. I got like bombarded by 7 people today that they're not going to be there. So, but it's totally fine. I totally get it. There's more time to chazer during the Suda, whatever you want to call it. And then we will, Be'ez Hashem, the following week, I asked the Rosh Yeshiva to give us a Shir Klali on Tzadi Ches. This way everyone can get familiarized with what to expect on the Faher. And that's definitely a Kedai that has never been done in the past.
You say Faher, you mean the November 30th?
No.
The real Faher.
Yeah, it's just good to hear how he presents his sprachs. November 30th, I think everyone's basically, you know, towards the middle or end of Tzadi Ches. And Be'ez Hashem, by the end of next week, we should all complete it with, I gave it at least 2-3 days of Chazar before the November 30th test. And again, the test is very straightforward, just spot checking you to make sure you know. There'll be 2 or 3 questions on tour, just for Meir, and Be'ez Hashem will continue from there.
Anything, right?
What?
The task
codes. We're gonna find the ones that he doesn't quote. Okay, so this is gonna be the last Shir on Tzadi Ches. By the time we get to the Tzadi test, it's gonna be the first Shir in Tzadi test after the Shir.
Unless we have a Shir Sunday.
Okay, so. Maybe. I'll think about it. We'll see if there's demand. Sunday is another interesting day. Okay, so this is going to be a heavy one. But Be'ez Hashem, I think we can do this. Okay, so let's discuss the Tzadi Ches Gimel, the discussion of Safik Chisar Nidia. So the starting point of the Sugya is the Gemara Chulin Tzai Zayin on the base, which brings down the situation of a Kechal. A kachal, we know already, is an udder, which is a flesh of meat. But inside the udder, there are packed with glias of milk from the cow. And Rav Ashi asked the following shaila. When this kachal that has tons of milk in it falls into a kadera, into a pot of meat, how many glias should we assume is coming out of this kachal? How are we mishair the amount of glias of milk that come into this pot of meat? So Rav Ashi says, do we do a bedidei misharidan? Do we go against the entire kechal and we assume that all the milk in the kechal to its fullest volume is being nosing tam into the pot of meat and we need 60 against the entire kechal, the volume of the udder? Or no, do we have a right to assess and be mishaer, estimate how many bliyas of milk are coming out of the kechal and that'll be a much lower level ratio to the shishim that I need, because I'll estimate that maybe 5 liyas of milk came out, but not the entire volume of the kechal. Rav Ashi concludes that pshita b'didei misharidan. For sure, we have to go against the entire volume of the kechal. We have to assume the worst, maximum, l'chumra, because if we were to go based on how many bliyas that we would estimate, menaya dina kavanafik minay, how do we know how many bliyas are going to come out? Because of this suffix, we have to go to Chumra and assume the maximum worst case scenario that the entire volume of Kechal released all of its milk into the Kedera of meat and you shishim against the entire Kechal. That's the factual setup of the Gemara. Now the Rishonim, the Rashba, Tzadi Zayin of Beis, and the Ran Chul and Lamed Hei, and Dapi Arif ask a fundamental kasha from this Gemara. We know that the kechal, the milk that is located in the kechal, is chalav shchuta. It's chalav mesa, and you'll see next year by basar chalav. When it comes to basar chalav d'oraisa, it needs to be raw milk. Chalav that was taken out of a behemah, out of a cow, after it was shechted, or after it was, or died as a nevela, is chalav that we cannot use. It doesn't make basar chalav d'oraisa. It's Bas Berchalav Derabanan. So says the Rashba and the Ran, we're dealing with an Issa Derabanan. The milk that is coming out of this Kechal is Chalav Shchuta. It's an Issa Derabanan. It's trying to go into meat, to Aser it, only meat Derabanan. We have a suffix. Do we go by the entire Kechal or just the estimated amount of Bliyas? Why is Rav Ashi insisting that suffix is L'chumra? Let's say suffix Derabanan L'kula. And let us assert that only a certain amount of Bliyas came out. Let's estimate how many Bliyas came out. And let's have a lower ratio of Shishim. We don't need as much Shishim. We don't have to go against the entire Kechal. If this was a suffix Deraisa, you're right, L'chumra. But what happened to the basic principle of suffix Derabanan L'kula? Chalav Shchuta is Derabanan. Let's go L'kula and let's be Meshayer. How many Bliyas of milk are coming out of this Kechal? This is the big kasha of the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ran. This is already bavust. Okay, so comes along the Rashba and the Ran, that means Kami. Everyone knows it already. Comes along the Rashba and the Ran, you're learning Yiddish also on the side. Comes along the Rashba and the Ran, and they set down a very esoteristic limitation on the halacha of Suffolk Derban Lekula. And they say as follows. That this that we say, Suffolk Derban Lekula, is only by specific sfeikos like Nishbach. When we have a situation where you have a tairobas, and we don't have all the facts in front of us, we have a Nishbach, some of this content spilled, we're not sure whether or not you originally had a Shir Shishim or not, that's a Suffolk in the Metzias. We don't have all the facts in front of us, on that we say Suffolk Derban Lekula. Masha'enkin, when you have a case where you have all the facts laid out in front of you, you have the kechal, you have the meat. The only suffix we have is a function of a lack of knowledge. We have a chisaron in yediyah for how to assess. We have a chisaron in expertise. We have a chisaron in bikiyas for how to assess how many bliyas came out. That, says the Rashba, the Ran, is considered a chisaron yediyah, a suffix, chisaron yediyah, chisaron chachma. We do not apply the rule of suffix derabanan l'kula to. Suffix chisar nidiyah. This is the limitation on suffix derabanan l'kula that both the Rashba and the Ran set up, that we don't apply it when it's a suffix, when the facts are all in front of us, like the kechal, we just don't have the expertise to be Meshayer. But the question becomes, what exactly is the lumdus, what exactly is the reason behind this limitation? So what if it's a suffix, a doubt, that stems from my lack of knowledge? At the end of the day, I don't know what to do. It's a suffix. It's an Issa Derabanan, suffix Derabanan L'kula. What is the distinction between Nishbach, which for some reason that we do apply suffix Derabanan L'kula, like on Issa Derabanan, like Mimimino? But when it comes to Kechal, because it's Noveya from my lack of expertise, my lack of knowledge, a suffix Chisar Idea is not, we don't apply suffix Derabanan L'kula. What is the Pshat, what is the Lumdus behind this limitation? So if you looked in the Marmakomos, we have two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim for how to understand this limitation. The first approach is given by the Mordechai and Avodah Zarah, Tuf and Dalid, and also the Rashba and Torah Sabayis and Bayi Zayin, Shar Revi, the fourth Shar. Torah Sabayis is a beautiful sefer. You should always look in Torah Sabayis. He is a great sikum of all the shitas. Comes along the Rashba and the Mordechai, and they say a very fundamental difference between Nishbach and Chal, which is going to be a massive understanding in how to understand Hilchos Sfeikos in general. Says the Rashba the Mordechai, that in order for a suffix, for a doubt, we'll call it a doubt, to be defined as a Shem suffix in Halacha, the suffix has to be an objective doubt. If the doubt stems from a suffix, a doubt in Metzias, like Nishbach, where we don't have all the facts in front of us, we have a suffix in the doubt in the actual metzias of the case, that has a level of objectivity that can classify this as a shem suffix, a halachic shem suffix. Masha'inkin, when I have a chisarin yediyah, like bekechal, where I just don't have the tools to measure how many bliyas come out, says the Mordechai, that's das tipshim, that's amaratus. You personally don't have the wherewithal, the knowledge to be able to ascertain the suffix. Someone else, a Talmud Chacham who's greater than you, would have that ability. So the fact that it's a personalized lack of information makes it a subjective doubt. In order to be considered a shem suffix in halacha, you need an objective doubt, like a mitzias, like by Nishbach. Masha'inkin, by Kechal, where it's personalized, it's subjective, a subjective doubt does not classify or qualify as a shame suffix in halacha, and therefore, says the Rashba, says the Mordechai, we can't apply the rules of suffix derabanan lekula even by an iser derabanan, because it's not a suffix. It's not a suffix. Suffix derabanan lekula means a suffix derabanan lekula. But here, it's not a suffix. It doesn't have a shem suffix in halacha. This is the Rashba and the Mordechai. Okay? Comes along the Ran, and he fundamentally argues on the Rashba and the Mordechai. And the Ran says, the reason why we don't apply suffix derabanan lekula by kechal is for pragmatic considerations. Technical considerations. Be'emes, be'emes, be'yisod. A suffix that is noveya from a doubt that is noveya from my own subjective lack of information is a shem suffix, because the definition of a shem suffix lefi the Ran is the absence of clarity. As long as I don't have clarity, I have a doubt. That's considered a shem suffix. Not like the Rashba. The Rashba requires an objective doubt. Comes the Ran and says no. Any absence of clarity is considered a shem suffix in halacha. That's the definition of a shem suffix. Absence of clarity. So why is it that by kechal we're not able to apply suffix derabanan lekula? We have an absence of clarity. Says the Ran, balabatish, pragmatic reasons. Chazal, like the Ramban says as well, Ramban and the Ran go together. The Ramban and the Ran both say, Chazal like uniform assessments. Hishvu midosehen. Chazal want uniform categorical assessments. When Chazal set down the Shir Shishim, they wanted it to be shava b'shava in all the kitchens in Klal Yisrael. If we were to have applied suffix derabanan lekula by kechal, what will happen? Well, in Shia's house, he will assess it as 3 blias. In Meir's kitchen, it'll be 4 blias. In Yaakov's house, it'll be 6 blias. Everyone's going to have a case-by-case assessment. So because of that lack of uniformity in Klal Yisrael, Chazal were koveya categorically, when it comes to sfeikas where it's going to be a case-by-case assessment, we want uniform shitas, uniform halachas. Everyone has to assume bedidei misharinan, the entire amount of the volume. We don't want people to start estimating because it's going to become case by case. Like the Ramban says in Lashon, we don't want a Torah called echad v'echad bebeiso. Everyone's going to have his own Torah in his house. We want it to be one uniform Torah. So it comes out, the Fida Ran, that really b'yisod, Hashem suffik in halacha is satisfied in this case because it's an absence of clarity. The only thing that's lacking is a pragmatic consideration of hishvu midosehen. So we have two fundamentally different approaches as to why we don't apply suffix derabanan lekula to kechal, even though it's only nisa derabanan. Either the Rashba, the Mordechai, tzdas tipshim, you need an objective doubt, this is only subjective, no shame suffix. The Ran, it is a suffix, absence of clarity, but the reason why we don't apply suffix derabanan lekula is because of hishvu midosein. That's step one, yeah. What's it? Shia had his hand up first, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just don't understand what's so bad. Everyone has their own measure. That is the Torah's rule. The Torah's rule is everyone gets...
This is Chazal right now. Chazal, on their Isuri Derabanan, don't want you to view Isuri Derabanan in this way, and you view Isuri Derabanan this way. If you're Mishai or you're Kechal that way, your Isuri Derabanan is going to mean 3 blias in a pot. That guy's Isuri Derabanan in a pot of Kechal will be 4 blias. Chazal, Hishim Dusein. And Echanami, by Deraisas, I could argue still also, but I'm saying we're in Chazal now, we're in Derabanan world. Yeah.
Is the Ran categorically saying that anytime it's a case by case, then Chazal is going to make it uniform, or is he just saying Dafka b'Kechal?
Well, by Kechal is all we know right now. If there were other cases that were case by case, then in Echanami, and that you actually just brought up a very good point, Mashi'in came by Nishpach. Says the Ran, good point, I forgot to add Nishpach. In the Ran, the reason why Nishpach is, we do say suffix derabanan lekula, is not because that's called a suffix more than it was by Kechal. It's always a suffix. The reason why by Nishpach we don't have this concern of Hishvu Midosehen is because Nishpach says the Ran is Be'akroi. It happens once in a blue moon. We're not nervous that Shia in the year Tavshin Pei is going to have 4 blias, and Yaakov in the year Tavshin Pei Gimel is going to have 6 blias. It's once in a blue moon. So because it's Be'akroi Ba'alma, Chazal didn't feel a need to make a uniform assessment by Nishpach. When it comes to Chal, that is case by case. Every time you have an Issa Derabanan fall into a pot, it's going to be case by case. That happens all the time. That's step one. Now comes step two. Let's segue into Isurei D'oraisa. This is going to be the Kenach now. Okay, it's going to get heavy now, but it's going to be Mosif, a lot of Havana behind everything you did in the Taz, and Havana behind a lot of things in Sif Gimel. Let's segue to D'oraisa. So if I were to ask you about Isurei D'oraisa, this entire conversation would be moot. It would be irrelevant. The only reason why the Rashba and the Mordechai and the Ran and the Ramban had to give these two approaches was to explain why we override the classic principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula. But if I had an Issa D'Oraisa like Nevela, Chelev, Trefa that falls into a pot, for sure we'd go B'didei Misharinan. We're not going to say Safek, let's estimate how many Bliyas or the entire amount. It's a Safek D'Oraisa. Safek D'Oraisa is always the Chumra. We don't need the Rashba and the Ran to give us two approaches by Safek D'Oraisa the Chumra. It's always the Chumra. But comes along the Taz in Sif Gimel and Sadiches and other Achronim as well, and they point out that while it's true that by one, a single suffix, this machlokes, Rashba Ran, has no manifestation, no relevance, but it does apply to Nisra D'Oraisa when it comes to a Sveik Sveika. And this is going to require analysis of the halacha and the tour in Simen Pei Aleph, which was alluded to by the Taz, but without looking at the tour inside properly with the Rashba and the Rush inside, you will not fully get the chlorkite of the tour. So if you look at the Torah in Pei Aleph, which none of us have in our volumes because they only sell from Tari Ches to Kuftes, or Pei Zayin, I should say, but Pei Aleph is before. So you have to actually pull off a Shulchan Aruch off the shelf to look at Pei Aleph. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Pei Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing the following case, hold cup here, okay? We have cheese, gvinos. Gvinos that were made from a cow, from a challah that came from a cow. And the cow subsequently was found to have a simen of tarfus. And now we have a shayla. Did this gvina, was it made from chalav before the tarfus came onto the behema? In which case, this gvina is kasher. It was made from chalav, it was kasher. Or did this gvina was made from chalav after the simen tarfus of this behema? Which would make it treif. So the Torah says very simply, the Beis Yosef as well, as explained by the Beis Yosef, it depends. If we're discussing a simen tarfus, where you see that it's congealed already, the blood is already congealed and coagulated, whatever that means, congealed blood. It's a simen raya muchachas that this tarfus was there for many, many days. So you can be rest assured that the gvina that you made came after the simen tarfus and it's treif. Okay? That's pashup shah, it's vadai. But then he brings the shitas harashba. And the rashba says, this is also going to be true by a sircha. What's a sircha? A sircha is some kind of adhesive substance. I had to look at pictures online to figure out what this was for you guys. But some kind of white adhesive mucusy substance that is found on a lung of a behema, a lung of a cow. Now, this substance, this sircha, is not tarfus. It's just that it may indicate that what's underneath the surface of the sircha is a hole in the lung that the body naturally wants to seal up with this substance. The substance itself is fine. It's just that it may indicate that it may have a tarfus underneath it. Okay? So says the Rashba, when it comes to a sircha, we also have to be machmir and assume that the gvinas are also going to be aser. Because we have a suffix. Suffix were these gvinas made before the tarfus, before the sircha developed, and it's kasher. Or maybe it was made after the sircha developed, and therefore it's treif. So Rashba says, very simple, suffix deraisa l'chumra, Trefus is a deraisa, and we have to asher all of the gvinas. This entire cheese factory has to lose all of its gvinas from this behema because safek deraisa l'chumra, safek before, safek after the sircha. Okay, sounds good. Comes along the Rosh, the Torah brings the Rosh, he screams at the Rashba. He says, what do you mean? I can find you a second safek in this case. It's true, safek before, safek after, but even if the gvinas were made after the sircha developed, we have an additional suffix. A suffix whether or not indeed there's a hole under the sircha or not. The sircha is not the tarfus. The sircha is just a possible indication that there may be a hole underneath it. But we have a second suffix. Is there even bechlal tarfus under the sircha? So says the Rush, sveik sveika. And it's an issa d'oraisa. Sveik sveika by issa d'oraisa is mutter. Suffix before, suffix after. Even if the gvina was made after the sircha, suffix whether or not there's a mum bechlal or not. Suffix d'oraisa on a sixth feika is mutter. Says the Rosh, I don't understand the Rashba, and he matirs, the Torah goes with his father, matirs all the gvinas in this case. So the question becomes, what exactly is the stance of the Rashba? How do we defend the Rashba? Why is he seemingly ignoring this second suffix? And after we explain that, we have to swing it back to the Rosh and understand the Hezber Machlokas as to why the Rosh is holding of this suffix. This is the setup. This is a good time to ask questions now if you have. Yeah, what'd you say? Oh, okay, good, good. Hold off on that. Very good. See, even without seeing the Torah, you knew that. You're proving me wrong every time. Beautiful. So, Dana, how you doing? Good. Okay. I'm happy I did this after the Kershaw Bam yesterday because you guys already probably have a lot of the factual setup anyway. Okay. So comes along the Bach in Peyal, and he says, this second suffix that the Rush introduced to us, that the Sircha may indicate a Tarfus may not, if you think about it, is really a suffix Chisaron in Yediyah. Because the fact that we don't know whether or not there is Tarfus under the Sircha or not is due to our lack of expertise. During the Zman of the Talmud, in the Gemara, in the Chachmei HaTalmud, Achadar Chachamim, they would have the capacity to check if there is a mum or not. Perhaps they'd use an experiment of inflating the lung with water and see if anything drips out to see if there's taka a hole or not. There are ways of doing it. We, personally, we don't know how to do this. We're not experts in how to check sirchas, how to peel it off properly, and to check if there's a hole or not. So we are machmir not to check. We have a lack of expertise. We have a suffix, but it's a suffix in chisaron in yediyah. So says the Bach, the Rashba is kafta referach. The Rashba in not holding this as a suffix is leshitase. The Rashba we saw before by suffix derabban lekula was with the Mordechai, that whenever you have das tipshim, whenever you have a subjective doubt that doesn't have a halachic shame suffix in halacha. And so even relative to Isuri deraisa, where we need sveika, if I can knock off one of those sveikas because it's not halachically a shem suffix, because it's a chisar in yediyah, it's not categorized as a shem suffix in halacha, that second suffix that the Rush introduced is null and void. We only have one suffix left. The fact that we're not sure how to check a sircha for a mum underneath it or not is a suffix in chisar in yediyah. That's a subjective doubt. A subjective doubt has no quality of objectivity in halacha. It's not a shem suffix. So says the Rashba, leshitase, the Rashba says, we have to knock out all these gvinas. They're all usser. I only have one suffix left. Suffix, did it happen before? Or suffix, did it happen after? But the second suffix that the Rush introduced of whether or not there is a mum or not, that's not a suffix. It's a suffix chisar yediyah, not a shem suffix. And so the Rashba is leshitase to his stance in chulin by kecha, by suffix derabban lekula, even legabe isuri deraisa. So what does the Rush hold? What's pshat in the Rush? So for this, we have two possible explanations. The first possible explanation you for sure did not hear yet. And this is the Prima Gadim. This makes it Gishmak. Says the Prima Gadim, the Rush is operating with a Shitas Haran. Lefi the Ran, from approach one, approach two above by Sabbath Rabban Lekula, the reason why Sabbath Rabban Lekula didn't apply was not because it wasn't the Shem Suffolk. Even a subjective Chisar and Yediyah is called a Shem Suffolk. The only thing the Ran was Mechadish is that the Chazal had Hishvu Midoseyim. Chazal wanted a uniform assessment. Chazal had pragmatic considerations. But when it comes to a Sircha, we have a suffix in whether or not there is a Mum or not. That Enchanami is Chisaron and Chachma, but that is still considered a Shem suffix in Halacha, because subjectivity doesn't matter. As long as I have an absence of clarity, that's called a Shem suffix. And you want to tell me there's pragmatic considerations here? No, there's not. Shia is not going to tell me that that Sircha is going to be Mutter. Yaakov is not going to tell me that it's Aser. It's all one halacha. We don't check Sirchas. They are always, we just assume we don't check them. There's no case-by-case assessment. It's not one bliya, five bliyas. It's just either there's a mum or not a mum. So the Ran, if you work with the Shitas Ran, this suffix chisar idea of Sircha, of whether or not there's a mum or not, is still qualified as a suffix. And therefore, and there's no pragmatic considerations of Hishru Midosehen. And so the Rush is very glot. He's allowed to use this second suffix as in conjunction with the first suffix. So the Rush is very mistaber. Sveik sveika. Suffix, did the Gvina happen before the Chala became a Trefa or after? And even if it's after, I'm not sure if there is a Mum underneath it. And that is called the suffix Lefi the Ran. That's one Mahalach to explain the Rush. The nafkamina between the Rashba and the Ran. Not only the Gabe Derabanans, but also the Gabe Derasis. Comes on the Taz, second explanation, and he wants to say the following setup for the Shitas HaRash. I'm going to tell you the setup outside, and then we'll knock it down inside. But just to hear the setup. Says the Taz in Sif Gimel, big chiddush. Really, the Rush, this is explanation two now. Really, the Rush could in principle agree with the Mordechai and the Rashba that be'etzem, a subjective doubt, is not called a shem safik in halacha. You need an objective doubt to call a shem safik in halacha. However, by the case of Sircha, the Rush has an argument on the Rashba that even here, there's a unique reason why here by Sircha, this is called an objective doubt, as opposed to the Rashba. Comes along the Taz and he says, a Sircha is unique, because it's not just that I don't know how to check a Sircha for to make sure there's mumim or not. It's not just my own personal insufficiency. It's the entire world's lack of information. It's a Safik L'chola Olam Kulo. So says, listen to the Lamedus right now, says the Rush, Lefi the Taz, what was the reason why the Mordechai and the Rashba disqualified a subjective doubt to becoming a Shem Safik? Because it's subjective. You need something objective. So says the Rush, I'll find you an objective quality by Sircha. The objective quality is that it's universally unknown. That is the objective quality. It's universally unknown. Masha Enki, the Rashba apparently, was not working with this tzad. The Rashba holds objective doubt is defined differently. And they're having a Nikudas HaMachlokas. What objective quality do you need in a doubt in order to be considered a Shem Safik? The Rosh is saying, as long as it's universally unknown, that's considered objectively a doubt that is considered a Shem Safik. Says the Rashba, but the Maisa, in its origins, the Safik, the doubt, is Noveya from a subjective lack of information. It's true that the entire world doesn't know about it. But Lemaisa, that's circumstantial. So many people don't know about it. But it all stems from a subjective lack of information. So there's a Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rashba and the Rush. Within the general Mahalach of the Mordechai and the Rashba, that you need to be objective to be considered Shem Safik, what quality of objectivity do you need? Lefi the Rashba, it's specifically Nishbach, where you have a natural Safik, and a Safik that is naturally in the Metzias, in the inherent reality. When you have a doubt in the inherent reality, that's called a Shem Safik. That's why only Nishbach is considered a Safik. The Rush says Nishbach is one example. But Sircha, as long as there's a universal unknown, that's also a level of objectivity, and that is considered a Shem Safik in Halacha. So to summarize, we're really coming out with three fundamentally different visions for how to define a Shem Safik. We have on the one extreme the Rashba and the Mordechai, who define a Shem Safik as an objective doubt that is in the natural inherent reality, like Nishbach, a Safik in Mitzias. That's the only level of objectivity that we have for a Shem Safik. On the other extreme, we have the Ran, that a Shem Safik is any absence of clarity. That's automatically considered a Shem Safik. And in the middle, we have this Rush, Lefi the Taz, who's giving us another approach that objective doubt can also be defined as universally unknown. A universally unknown doubt is also a Shem Safik. And so what we did so far, we basically finished, just one more step, is we start off with Safik Darabon Kula, which is the starting point of the Sugya. Chal, we asked why is Safik Darabon Kula not applying to an Issa Darabonan. We gave two fundamentally different approaches. The Rashba Mordechai, not a Shem Safik because it's subjective. The Ran, it is a Shem Safik, it's just Hishru Midosehen. And then we segued into Deoraisas, and we showed that the Rashba is Lashitase, and he even holds that the entire world not knowing doesn't matter, it's not a Shem Safik, as long as in its origins it's coming from a subjective lack of information, that's not a Shem Safik, therefore all the cheese is Usser. We don't apply Sveik Sveika because the second Safik is null and void. And the Rush, we had two Pshatim. Either he's going with the Ran, and therefore it is a Shem Safik, and you have a Sveik Sveika. Or number two, the Taz's approach in the Rush, who says that he can fundamentally agree with the Rashba and the Mordechai, but he's arguing that something that is universally unknown is still called a Shem Safik. That was, in a nutshell, I just said the shiur five times in a row, just in 5 minutes. Okay, let's just finish off with one practical application, which will kind of ground this analysis in Lemaisa. For those who are married, and for those who will get married, this may come up for you. This happens not so infrequently. It happens pretty often, actually. And this is going to be the gabe of bris milah. Whew, bris milah. So we know, in general, is a bris milah, a vadai shmini, a bris milah that is chal on Shabbos, if it's a vadai bismana, it's the eighth day, is doche Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay? However, if it's a milah shelo bismana, let's say the baby was yellow and you couldn't give him a milah on the eighth day, you have to give him on the ninth day, so a milah shelo bismana, if it's chal on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is not doche Shabbos and Yom Tov. But it goes further. Even a suffik milah bismana is not doche Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's a suffik milah bismana? Bein Hashmashos. Let's say a baby is born during Bein Hashmashos on Friday going into Shabbos. The following Friday, Shabbos, we're not sure if on Shabbos is that considered, if it's Bein Hashmashos, we're not sure if it's Yom or Laila. If he was born on Friday, really the bris is on Friday. But if he was born on Shabbos, the bris should be on Shabbos. A suffik milah bismana on Shabbos is not doche Shabbos, and the bris is going to have to be on Sunday. Can't do Friday because it may be the 7th, we're not sure. And you can't do Shabbos because it's a suffik milah, you have to wait till Sunday. Suffik milah shelo bismana is not doche Shabbos and Yom Tov. Noda Behuda was once asked in Sinan Lamed, what about a situation where a baby was born bein hashmashos, but the following week it was chal on a Yom Tov sheni shel galius? Second day of Yom Tov. What's the halacha here? Can we say that it is doche Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius? Why would it be different? We still have a suffix. You want to say? You can say.
Isn't there like the Heshuv and Dozen?
Okay, I don't know about that.
The same state
as he's not going with that. Let's try.
Something if it's actually Yom Tov.
Okay, so here we go. So it says the Noda Behuda. The baby, I'll say it again. Gilad. The baby was born Bein Hashmashos. Was born Bein Hashmashos. So it's a suffik yom, suffik laila. 8 days later is Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius. If the baby was born during the day of Bein Hashmashos, then really Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius is the ninth day, and therefore it's not doche. If the baby was born at night Bein Hashmashos, meaning because it's considered night, that Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius is the eighth day, it should be doche, but it's a suffik, we're not sure. So says the Noda Behuda, you're allowed to maul the baby on Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius. I almost said shech. You're allowed to maul the baby on Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius. Why? Says the Noda Behuda, Sveik Sveika. Bein Hashmashos is a suffik yom suffik laila. But even if you want to tell me that it's Yom, and really the baby now on the eighth day, Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius, it may be the ninth day, and it's not Doche Yom Tov Sheni, but Sveika de Yoma, Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius itself is a suffix. Maybe it's Chol. Maybe it's not even Yom Tov. It's a Sveika de Yoma. So it says, Noda Behuda, Rav Yeager, that you're allowed to maul the baby on Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius when the baby was born on Bein Hashmashos the week before. Because we have a Sveika, suffix Bein Hashmashos Yom Laila. On the one hand, maybe it is Taka the eighth day on Yom Tov Sheni. And even if it's not, even if it ends up being the ninth day, don't worry, it's still Doche Yom Tov because maybe it's Chol. Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius may be Chol.
Nowadays it's a Minhag.
Okay, but he's saying it's still a Suffolk, a Sveik, as Matir, a Minhag, maybe.
But it's not Suffolk anymore, it's just a...
Okay, but he's saying, but Yisod, it is a Suffolk. Minhag, we are manning ourselves to do it. But Yisod, it's a Suffolk. So, indeed, it could be that they would argue, but in order to be the Paskins, you're allowed to maul the baby. Richie Vigor also brings this up. Comes along to Odano's Rebbe, Rav Avadya, and Yabia Omer, and he says, 1 second, how can you apply Sveik Sveika in this situation? Okay, Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius, okay, Safik Chol, Safik Yom Tov. What is a Safik Bein Hashmashos? Says Yabia Omer, if you look at the Taz in Reish Samech Vav, a Safik Bein Hashmashos is a Safik in Chisaron Yin Yediya, whether it's Yom or Laila. Says the Taz, during the Chachmei HaTalmud, there were people who knew when Bein Hashmashos was Yom or Laila. We, nowadays, don't know whether or not it is Yom or Laila. But it is, there was a time when we did know, the Safik Chisaron Yediya. So how can the Noda Behuda and Rav Yeager both say that it's a Sveik Sveika? The first Safik of Bein Hashmashos is a null and void Safik. It's not a Shem Safik. Like the Rashba says. So comes along the Noda Behuda, Rav Avadya, and he says, very simple. And you look at the Bir Halacha by Hilchos Shabbos, it says the same thing. We paskin like the shita of the Taz. That when you have a suffix that is a suffix, a subjective suffix, and you want to say it's not a Shem suffix, okay. But if it's universally unknown, like the Rush says, if no one in the entire world knows the suffix, no one knows how to mevar, that is called a Shem suffix in halacha. So says the Rav Adya, Noda Behuda and Rekivi Inger are working with this second mahalach in the Rush of the Taz, who says that yes, Hagam we pass like the Rashba, that you need an objective suffix. But it does. But if you have a universally unknown doubt, that's also considered a Shem suffix. Bein Hashmashos is considered a Shem suffix. But we have a sfik, and Noda Behuda says you can be mal the baby of Shane Shagolius. Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lila, which is a valid Suffolk, and even if you want to say that it's the ninth day, we have a chol, maybe Suffolk Sfeik of the Yoma is the chol of Yom Tov Shein Shagolius. Just to end off, the way we paskin, so if you look at the Torah in Sadi Chaz Gimel, he brings down this basic limitation on Suffolk Derban Kula, of Suffolk Chisar Nidia, the Beis Yosef as well. Shulchan Aruch follows the Psak of the Beis Yosef in the Torah, and he brings down that whenever it comes to Isurim that fall into a pot, you have to go based on Bedidei Misharinan, based on the entire volume of the Isser, whether it's the Oraisa, and even if it's Isur Shel Devrayim, because Suffolk Derabban Lekula does not apply, and we are Machmer to go based on the entire amount of the Heftza of Isser, because we're Mesupuk, the Suffolk Derabban Lekula doesn't apply. And why does Suffolk Derabban Lekula not apply? So the Shach brings down both Pshatim, he brings the Rashba, the Mordechai, Das Tipshim, and he brings the Ran, Hishru Midosehen. If you look at the Taz, he only mentions the Rashba, seemingly does not bring down the Ran, and the Taz concludes that we do Paskin like the Rashba, but with the Kenech of the Rush, that if it's the Chola Olam Kulo, you're allowed to call that a Shem Suffik. And to end off, the Aruch HaShulchan says that Chola Olam Kulo doesn't have to mean the entire world, as long as Rove of the world does not know how to mevar the suffix, that's also considered an objective Shem suffix, and that's how he paskin lehalacha. Have a wonderful Shabbos.